Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter number 400, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. O my soul, Jehovah praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter number 400.
Thank you. wish to read from God's holy and precious word, that which can be found in the book of John, thereof from the 8th chapter. But before that, the law of God as it can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 8, beginning with verse 21 up and including to the 40th. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Gerrit van Hagenbos, who were blessed with a well-born boy in this past week. Mr. DePuter had eye surgery in this past week, and Mr. Jim Busicum broke both of his heels in a fall in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard thy word already in these moments, and what thou hast spoken unto the Jewish people. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. And Lord, thou knowest all our hearts. But we are so of this world that we are cleaving to all the things that are passing away. Oh, that thou may give us a new life. And if thou hast given a new life, wilt thou also revive that life? Wilt thou make that life to burn? Because else we still cleave unto this world. But everything soon will be left behind us. Oh, we need thy Spirit. Also in this morning hour, when we are called to leave the world on the outside of this thy house, that it may indeed be left on the outside for a little while, on the outside of our minds and on the outside of our hearts, that we may be given attentiveness to thy holy word, that thy word may penetrate our hearts, which are so closed for thee and for thy word. Lord, thou alone art able to break our hearts, for they are hard and they are stony, as the nether millstone. But when thou wilt come, then in one moment they shall be broken to pieces, and then they shall melt before the power of thy Holy Spirit, either for the first time or by renewal. It is thy own work. Oh, that thou wouldst send in thy Spirit. And when we are gathered round about thy word of truth in this morning hour, thy servant did say, My soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and in a thirsty land wherein no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Oh, then it is a remembrance for thy people so often, and sometimes a remembrance that has to go back so many years. But thou art able to renew it in one moment. Oh, thou who sittest on the right hand of power, oh, unto thee shall all men come, that we also may be drawn to approach unto thee in heart and soul in this hour, that our hearts may be drawn unto the things which are above, where thou sittest upon thy throne, that our treasure may also be there, that we may lose all our desire, for fulfillment in the things of time and sense. O thou art able to grant it for the first, and also to make it to burn by renewal in the hearts of thy children. O Lord, that thou thyself may look upon us on this thy holy day. Thou didst give us thy holy word. Thou camest here upon this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Thou hast done a great work in obedience unto thy own Father. Thou hast thought out that way, and thou hast also fulfilled all that was necessary for thy church. O Lord, could it please thee also then to send thy Spirit in the day in which we are living with our children, wherein Satan does attempt in such a strong way to keep in the bonds of death. Thou art able to loose us, O Lord, that we may be free. O that thou may remember us then, young and old, traveling to our long home, do instruct us in this thy word of truth. For we sing it often together, how that mercy and truth they are met together, and righteousness and peace they have kissed each other. And so thy law that has been fulfilled, and all justice has been fulfilled, so that mercy may be shown to those who are lying in their wretchedness and in their misery, in their guilt, and grace to those who do not deserve it. That we may be given an eye to see it in this hour. Do look upon young and old, for we have no desire after thee by nature. Not one, all of us are turned aside, each one gone to his own way. So that there is no more foolish creature in the world than fallen mankind. Thou hast no form, thou hast no comeliness, though thou callest unto us time and time again in a natural providential way, but also under the callings of thy word. O Lord, come thou unto us and unto our dear children. Wilt thou look upon us in this hour? Be with all that are afflicted. This world that is full of sorrows, a sea of tears, and thou knowest the places where there is affliction, and the mind in the body, in the families, persecutions, tribulations, trials, so many sorrows. Show us the evil of our sin, and wilt thou give us to feel something of that true godly sorrow, and that thou may supply for those that are in need, him that has fallen in the week gone by. Lord, thou hast spared his life, for then he must say that it could have been so different. Oh, that thou may humble him before thee, and that thou may supply for him in the time to come, when he is not able to go about the labors of his hands. But wilt thou give what is necessary also unto the doctors in the time to come? And wilt thou look upon him with his family, but grant us all together to see the shortness, the uncertainty of our life, that it may be profitable for his and our souls together. Him that has received surgery in the week that is gone by, and thou hast made all things well, wilt thou give him a thankful heart and visit him, and all that are in that place with him in their old age, and the many increasing infirmities of the body, that thou may be near to them here also upon thy day, that thou may visit them also in their place this day. And thou hast given also new life, young life, into this world, sparing mother and child, humble the parents before thee, and wilt thou give what is necessary to bring up their child, their children, in that true and tender fear of thy holy name. Look upon all of the youth, the children, in this time when they are not in school. Spare each one from accident, from danger. Give a little separation and desire that they, when they have not earthly teachers, that they may have a heavenly teacher, and that they may seek that instruction in their secret chambers. That is much higher than all the instruction that is in this world. Lord, remember us all together. Parents, give us wisdom. Give us what is necessary to bring up our children in the fear of thy holy name. Grandparents, that we may also have a place in the midst of our children and our grandchildren. For when we do become older, then we are supposed to be wiser. O Lord, that thou may give us that wisdom, that we may be enabled also to speak unto our children and our grandchildren, and that we may also be given to set an example before them of a pilgrim here in this world. Lord, go with us also in this day and all that do bring thy word. The students, where that they are, he that has received surgery, Lord, thou knowest where that he is. Wilt thou visit him in his place when he is not able to bring thy word at this time? And wilt thou heal him that he may go in and out, and that his labors may be blessed, and that thou may remember the students when they bring thy word also in this area, in this day. Thy servants, where that they are, the afflictions also in the body thou knowest. Supply for each and every one. May thy word have free course. Strengthen us in this hour. Give us liberty, O Lord. Give us a little freedom. Open thy word unto us, that we may also open it unto others. Do show thyself as he that has promised to put thy word in our mouth, and that we may be given to know how to take forth the precious from the vile, and that thou may so bless us with those blessings that are so undeserved, but that we cannot miss. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 319, stanzas 3 through 5. In bondage of distress and grief, to God I cried and sought relief. In wondrous love he heard my plea and set my soul at liberty. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School, Psalter 319, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Beloved congregation, in our thoughts we see a man who is laboring under the burning of the sun. From time to time, he stops. He wipes the sweat from his brow. Quickly, he glances around him, and then he goes to his toil again. The day that wears on. He longs for its end. More and more, he is growing weary. More and more, he is desiring that his toil that may be finished. Imperceptibly, he slows, but he must go on. From time to time, we hear a miserable cry when a blow that has been received by him once again, the last strength that is mustered once again, and on he toils until the day comes to its end. Slavery, that is so often such a miserable, such an evil thing. The children of Israel, they were not ignorant of what it meant to be under a hard taskmaster. Such persons, they do learn the value of freedom. Then there is a great price that they would be willing to pay for their freedom. And there is perhaps very little and that they would not sacrifice in order and that they may gain their freedom. What kind of price would you be willing to pay in order that you may gain your freedom? What kind of sacrifice would you be willing to make in order that you may be delivered from your bondage? You say, I do not understand. I am not a slave. I am not in bondage. The words of our text congregation can be found in the portion that was read to you. That is John 8, and thereof the 36th verse. John 8, verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So far the words of our text. True freedom. First, what it is. We find that in the last part of our text, ye shall be free indeed. Second, how it is obtained. We find that in the first part of our text, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Thus, true freedom, first, what it is, and second, how and that it is obtained. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Free indeed. Thus, there is, and especially in the language in which it was spoken, there is an emphasis. The last word of that statement, indeed. To be free indeed, the Lord Jesus, he makes a distinction. Why does he not say, children, ye shall be free? No, he says, ye shall be free indeed. Thus, he makes a distinction between freedom and freedom. He makes a distinction between a supposed freedom and what is indeed freedom, what is really true freedom. Why does the Lord Jesus make this emphasis? To whom is he speaking? Well, he is speaking to the Jews. He is speaking especially here to the Pharisees. And that is an answer. And it is an answer to what? It is an answer to their objection. What do they object to? Well, they object to the words that the Lord Jesus himself has just spoken. To whom has he spoken? He has spoken to the Jews, we read, which believed on him. And what did he say to them? He said, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Comforting words to his own disciples, to his own followers, to those who believed on him. They were those who had trials. There were those who had tribulation, who were persecuted, and especially even by their own rulers. And now the Pharisees, they object, and they try to make the Lord Jesus appear to be speaking things which are just absurd, that are, we would say, ridiculous. What do they say? They say, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Thus you see how the rage of unbelief does blind the eyes of a man, that they are not able even to perceive their own history, that they are not able even to perceive their own present circumstances. 400 years, their ancestors have toiled in the bondage of Egypt. 70 years, their ancestors, they have toiled in the bondage under the taskmasters of the Assyrians. And they themselves presently are, well, they are under the rule of the Romans. And yet what do they say? "We were never in bondage to any man." Thus, their unbelief that does blind their eyes to their own history, to their own present circumstances. But that same unbelief that does blind their eyes, that they cannot understand the words, the matter that the Lord Jesus, he is here speaking about. And the Lord, he is so patient. Did you ever experience that? How patient that the Lord is. And that is not only with his people, but we can read here how patient that the Lord is even with his enemies. "Verily, verily," he explains to them, "I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." What does he say? He says, "You speak about a natural bondage. You speak about a civil bondage. You speak about being in bonds to persons that are in this world." He says, "I speak about a different kind of bondage. I speak about the bondage to sin." Thus we have our first point. What is true freedom? And that is naturally connected to that question, what is a real bondage? Thus, what is that? True freedom. What is freedom? What is liberty? How would you answer that, young people? What does it mean to be free? Maybe you say, "I like to be free from from the rules that are in my house. There are many today that they say freedom, that is now the ability that you may do anything that you want, that you may have all of the restraints that are about you, all of your limits to be removed. Then you are perfectly free. Then you may do, you may live out whatever that is living within your heart. That is freedom. No bounds. That is absurdity. There is only one being who is without limits. And who is that being? That is God Himself. And what do we read of God Himself? That God Himself, He also lives within certain bounds. To what is He bound? You say, well, He is bound to Himself. He is bound to His own attributes. Are there things, children, that the Lord He cannot do? Say, there is nothing the Lord He cannot do. There is. We read that in God's Word, that is greatly to the comfort of His church, that there are certain things that the Lord is not able to do. And that is that He is not able to be one who is not Himself. We read that He is not able to lie. Is that not then a great comfort to God's church? When they have received from Him a word, is it not those attributes that the Lord He is, He has those boundaries about Him, that He is not able to go forth of those own boundaries, that is giving so much comfort, hope, and strength to His people that are in this world? And yet, He is perfectly free. That has to be. And therefore, perfect freedom that is so consistent with boundaries. Thus, to be confined to the boundaries of our own attributes, to be confined to the boundaries of our own character, to be confined to the boundaries of our own purpose, that is not bondage. Man's natural liberty, when we think of our civil liberties in this world, what is that? That is not that we may do everything that we please, but that is that we may have that privilege, that we may have the things and do the things which we were created to do as a human being. That is those things to which we have a moral right. What do we have a moral right to do? Well, we have a moral right to live according to the purpose of our creation. What was the purpose of your creation, children? Say, that is to live for God. That is right. To live to His honor, to live to His glory, that we have a right to do. And that right then, that has a man, he has to be given his civil liberties in order that he may pursue that right, that God-given right, which he has received from his own Maker. Today, The world says that we all must have equal rights. Is that right? That we must all have equal rights? Everyone the same rights? There is some truth to that. There is a certain truth to that, that is before the law, then everyone has the same rights. We all have the same right to help, and we all have the same right to the same information, and we have the same right to justice and to judgment and so on before the law. However, there are also many differences between men that are in this world. That is, there are differences in age, there are differences in gender, there are differences in intelligence, there are differences in strength, there are differences in offices, there are differences in our social status. And all of those differences, they have their own boundaries, appropriate boundaries. True freedom, that is not that we may break out of those boundaries, but true freedom is that we may have what is necessary to fulfill our purpose that we have been given within those boundaries. Children, is a dog bound? Does he not have his freedom, his full freedom? If he is not able to sing or to fly like a bird, you say that dog, he is not free. You say, no. No, that dog, he is not free if he is caged. He is not free if he is muzzled, if he cannot run like a dog, if he cannot bark like a dog. Then you say that that dog, he is not free, but he has true liberty if he may fulfill the purpose for which he has been created, if he may be just a dog, not a bird. That is simple. Thus, God, he has created all his creatures within certain boundaries. Animals have boundaries, man has boundaries, boys and girls, you have boundaries, parents, men, women, all have boundaries, created so. Did God then create man in bondage? Because that he has created man with boundaries? Does a child lack freedom if that he may not do all things as an adult? We say he lacks no freedom. He has freedom if he may now just be who he is, if he may now just be a child, that is who he is. And a man if he may be a man. And a woman if she may be a woman. As children of Adam and as Adam did, then we are often seeking our freedoms in the breaking out of the boundaries that God has given to us, which is actually no freedom at all. Ye shall be free indeed. What kind of a freedom does the Lord Jesus here speak of? Man, he is justly forsaken today of the Lord because we have broken out in our sin to such an extent that the Lord, he says, I let you go, that I will not even instruct you with your children that you may know what your natural boundaries are anymore. And what natural freedom truly is. But now the Lord Jesus, he speaks about something that is even more, that is much deeper, that is much higher. because he speaks here about a spiritual bondage. Ye shall be free indeed. Why does the Lord Jesus say this? Well, we said it is an answer. It is an answer to the scribes, to the Pharisees, to his enemies among this people. What have they said? They said, we are not in bondage to any man. And what does the Lord Jesus say, you poor men? Because you do not realize what a bondage that you are in. Is that not an awful thing? Is that not the most awful thing? When a man, he is in bondage, but he does not even know it. That he does not even realize it. That he actually cannot even feel the lashings of the whip. Is that not true death? Verily, verily I say unto you, whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin. Servant. Slave. He is in bondage to sin. Question. Did you ever feel something of this bondage? Did that bondage ever grieve you? By nature, it does not grieve us. By nature, we do not feel it. Actually, we think that we are free. But by grace, then we will learn something of that bondage. What is now one of the first things that will happen if the Lord gives to us children a new heart? Then we will desire something. Do you know what we will desire? We will desire to be free from sin. Are there children? Are there young people that desire to be free from sin? How may you know? What are now the marks, young people, of that true life that the Lord is giving, that new life? You say, well, there is a young person, they can testify. There is another one, they can speak. There is another one, they say, oh, I'm so sure what the Lord has done in my life. Is that what it is? We have to fear. We have to fear. Because in so many, especially in the young, when there is such a speaking, and then about the highest things, and yet, when you look at their life, then you say there is not even to be seen a desire that they may be free from sin. What are then all the words? What is then all the testimony? And then their whole life that is testifying against them. What does David say? He says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Have you also hid that word in your heart? That you might not sin against the Lord, then it can be that there is no testimony out of your mouth. Then it can be that you cannot speak and dare not speak. No, not even about the lowest things. But in your life, then you fear. Then you fear that you will remain in that slavery, in that bondage to sin. Joseph, he said, how shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Job says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. David, he says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. In regeneration, then that desire that is born, that we may be free from sin. And yet, do you know what those people do not know yet? they do not actually know yet that it is a bondage. They do not realize what a bondage to sin that they are actually in. That has to be learned. And how is that learned? That it is actually a bondage. That it is actually a slavery. Well, that is learned through the strife. That is learned through the warfare. Our fathers, they say, how great my sins and my miseries are. That it is not only that I do it. It is not only that I think it, but that I am it. That it is my sinful existence. That it is a slavery. That with all of my efforts, that I am not able to make myself one whit better. A man can live in a free country. He can be in bondage to no man in this world. But he can go over this world with a great grief in his heart, because there are living shackles that are upon him. There is a great difference whether that we do cleave to sin, or whether sin does cleave unto us. Do you cleave to sin? That is, that you go on in sin and consider that to be freedom, when there are no restrictions in your life to keep you from living out the desires that are living in your heart. The wicked desires, the carnal desires, the sensual desires, all the desires that have nothing to do with God's honor, God's glory, the salvation of my own soul. Or has that sin become to you a bondage? There are people, they are crying out from underneath this bondage. Why? Because they cannot live as the Lord has created them to live. Because the Lord has shown unto them their purpose. And that purpose wherein they are created, that is unfulfilled. Then they go over this world feeling as one who is not in his right place. The scriptures, they are testifying of that living complaint of God's people. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Paul, he says, the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, that is not cleaving unto sin, no, but that is that sin that is cleaving unto that people. That is a people who need to be saved. They need to be saved from what? They do not need to be saved merely from hell, but it is a people who need to be saved from sin. That is, from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Israel cried by reason of that bondage. When they were forced to make treasure cities for Pharaoh against their will, and then their cry that came up unto God in that bondage. Oh, then they feared that that bondage that would be to their complete destruction, that they would die there. Do we also know such a cry out of such a bondage? Let us sing Psalter 441, stanza 2. Recall no more the sins we have committed, but may they all in pity be remitted. O Lord, make haste. O may thy mercy tender now strength and help unto thy people render. And what follows in the second stanza of Psalter 441. shall be free indeed. Thus, through freedom, what it is, that is the deliverance from sin, that is to be free indeed, then a man can serve the Lord again. Then the man can live according to his right, his acceptable purpose before the Lord. Do you desire this? Is there anything in your heart that goes out unto the Lord when you may hear of the fulfillment of such a purpose? Maybe there are those who can say, all that is before the Lord, that is the desire that lives within my heart. Oh, I cannot say it is so constant. I cannot say that it is always burning. I cannot say that I am so consistent, no. But I can say that the Lord knows. That He knows what is living in the bottom of my heart. But now, how do I receive it? How do I gain such a freedom? That is now our second thought. How this freedom may be obtained. And the Lord Jesus, He speaks about it. And thus He speaks not only what we need, but the Lord Jesus, He tells us also how that we may obtain it. Is that not a wonder? What does He say? He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Oh, if we ever will be made free, then we must be made free by the Son. Do you believe that? There is no other way. If fallen man could save himself from this bondage, then why would the Father have sent His Son into this world? If we could deliver ourselves from sin, then why would Christ have come to make such a sacrifice as He did? No, the Apostle, He says of Himself, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then he learned by experience that if the Son did not make him free, then he could not be free indeed. That was not a new doctrine. That doctrine has been preached throughout the existence of this world. Even from the time of the fall, when the Lord, He has sent our first parents out of the garden. And so we can read that increasingly throughout the prophecies also of the Old Testament. So that the Lord, He says, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Why? Wherefore? Has it gained you anything? Has it delivered you? Has it given you true food and drink? Has it brought you any ways out of your bondage? And why? And you spend more and more labor in such a way. Hearken, He says. Hearken, O ye that are laboring. O hearken, ye that are not able to deliver yourselves from that bondage. Hearken, O ye to whom that it is a great burden, who desire to be delivered from that bondage, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Hearken, he says, what? He says, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Hearken, incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. How does the Son then make a man free? How is the young people? How does he make a man free? Does he go to raid the prison? People, they have done that in this world. They have gone to make a friend free. Read one time they came in a helicopter to pick him up out of the prison walls. Was that man free? Came out of the prison. Was he free? Say he had to go into hiding. He was not free. Could he walk in this life freely? No. He was always in fear. Why? Because that law that was always behind him, even though he was taken out of that prison. Thus, it was no freedom. It is not true freedom. It is nothing but an unlawfully escaped prisoner. Is that the way then that Son does make his people free? So that they still remain prisoners? Oh no. No, the Son does not make his people free in an unlawful way. How does the Son make his people free? Well, he does that in a lawful way. What does he do? He goes unto the judge. Because if he may go to the judge, and there the judge may speak, and the judge may say, let that man go, well, then he is free from that law forever. And so the Son does make his people free. Therefore he came into this world. Therefore he came into that judgment seat before Pilate, who was standing there in the place of God. Therefore he came into the judgment. Therefore he has fulfilled that judgment. Therefore he has satisfied that law. Therefore he can go back now unto that judge and to say to that judge, I have stood in the place of that man. I have stood in the place of that woman, of that boy, of that girl. And now I demand, and that that man, that boy, that girl, that they be set free. And now God, he has to remain within his own boundaries. That is, that he must do the truth as he has promised to his Son. If you will pay their price, then I will let them go. And so that judge that speaks, and he says, loose him and let him go. That is true freedom. There is no policeman anymore after that people. No, because that policeman, he has no rights anymore to bring that people back into the prison. That, my hearers, that is now true freedom. That man, he has not to hide. That man, he can come and he can go within all his natural bounds within this life. Do you understand a little of it? Paul, he says, no more conscience of sins. Is that not true freedom? What do you think, young people? Is that not true freedom? No more conscience of sins. Can you imagine what that would be? When your conscience did not speak anymore. Not because you have stepped on it, but because there was no sin for that conscience to testify anymore in your whole life. Is that not freedom? that is actually the first part. That is the first part of that true freedom. It is freedom from what? It is freedom from the curse. It is freedom from the punishment. It is freedom from the penalty of that law. Paul, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. How is that experienced? Do they then know that right away? Oh, that is experienced by degrees. That is experienced by steps in the life of God's children. Oh, they cannot say immediately that He is my God, that He is my surety. No, there is a people that are laying there in that prison, and from within that prison, they are hearing of that surety. When they feel those shackles that they are bound, that they are not able to fulfill that purpose, oh, then they hear. They hear only of that surety. And it is in the hearing of that surety that their ears, they are pricked, as it were. That they receive new ears to hear, and they listen. They listen to God's children. They are like the daughters of Jerusalem then. The daughters of Jerusalem, they say, tell us, what is now thy beloved, more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? Then they want to hear more of him. Sometimes when they are listening, then their heart begins to warm. Their heart begins to beat when they are hearing about that name, that surety, and what he has come into this world to do. And you know what they then begin to do? Oh, they begin to apply to him. They begin to seek him. They begin to pray to him. Oh, they begin to ask him. They send for him, like Jairus. He sent for him when he had heard of him, because he had his own case. And then he saw how fitting that he was to his case. Oh, that people, they begin also to pray to him. And they begin to ask him, Lord, Lord, wilt thou also come for me? Wilt thou also take away my shackles? Wilt thou also deliver me from the bondage that I am in? Sometimes, then they receive a special liberty. Sometimes they pray. Oh, you say, I pray every day. No, sometimes they receive prayer. Sometimes they are given a little access to the throne of grace. There, they may feel that cry that goes above the ceiling. Sometimes they may feel that the Lord, He actually hears. Oh, sometimes the Lord, He is also, when He is hearing, then the Lord, He is coming. And when He, that word that is administered in God's house, or when they may read it in their own private home, oh, then the Lord is coming in a special way. Then the Lord is coming to give a little blessing from that word, to give a little power to that word, that it may speak unto their own case. Oh, that they may hear the word of God to their own soul. That the Lord, He gives them, as it were, a promise from that surety, that surety that He speaks. Do they have freedom then? Are they outside of that prison? No. Oh, they are still in that prison. Oh, they can feel the shackles, they are still upon them. That bondage to sin, they are not able to break it out from it. But from that word of God, oh, to receive a little hope. What does the apostle say? He says that we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen that is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And when that word that may be spoken in the life of such a person, and then he is receiving by times just a little hope, is he free then? Free then? No. Oh, he can see it though. Sometimes just a little bit, that he can see something of that blessed freedom of God's children. And he receives hope. How? Well, he receives hope in the attributes of that surety. Oh, that God is not a man that he should lie, and he is not the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Oh, that is actually hope. That is an expectation that is coming out of the boundaries wherein God, he does bind himself to his own person, to his own attributes, to his own word, to his own oath, to his own covenant. But what has to happen yet in the life of that people? Because they are still in that prison. They are still in bondage. Well, they have yet to come to stand themselves before that judge. The surety congregation does not go into that court before the judge without the accused. No, it is the accused that also has to stand one time. He has to stand before that judge. And this is now what is so missing in the life of so many of God's true children. That is those latter steps in that life of grace wherein they may receive so much comfort, wherein God may receive so much honor and so much glory, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Or in the court of that conscience, then a man, he must stand before his judge, and there he must in his own self be condemned. There he has to make a full confession. There he has to agree and that he deserves to die. Oh, there indeed there is expectation of death. But it is there that the surety that is appearing for him. And when that surety is speaking unto the Father, and when that surety is speaking on his behalf, then the Father, as the judge, he is also speaking. And when that judge speaks, that he says, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found the ransom. O congregation, then that man, he goes free. You understand that? Then he goes out of that court, and that man, he has now perfect liberty. And you know what? Never happens again. It never happens again that man, he is brought back into that court. That is a people that may be established not only to be the concerned church, but to be a people that are established in that state of grace. It is a people that may have heard it from the mouth of the judge and that may know that they are now in that state of liberty, that all that sin and that has been cast into the sea of eternal forgetfulness, and that all that sin that shall never come before that judgment seat of God anymore, so completely paid. It is finished. And yet, is everything finished on the side of the people? Or is there still something yet that needs to be received? or you may ask the people, because they are still waiting for something, and that is for the full deliverance from sin itself. There was an old man out in the east. He was an elder. We received a little instruction from him when we were in theological school. And that man, he sat and told us once, and he had experienced something of what this is, that justification in the court of his own conscience. Yeah, brought Reverend LeMaine to the airport, and he dropped him off, and they had been speaking about these things. And Reverend LeMaine got out of his car, but before he got out, he said, "And now for sanctification." And as he was telling us, then he began to weep. He began to weep. And he said this. He said, "I did not know what he meant. But," he said, "now I know. Now I know. And now for sanctification." What does Paul say, people of the Lord? He says, "For sin that shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but you are under grace. And yet, you are not able to receive that full perfection that you so desire in your heart. Why? Because there is a body of sin and death that is now cleaving unto you. And therefore the sorrow of that people, even that established church, as they are yet going through this world. But do you know what Christ has promised to that people? If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And now the day is coming that promise that is going to be fulfilled. For that people who are not strangers of the smallest taste in this life already of that freedom. Oh, my friends, what a freedom that is now going to be. When all the restraints of that body of sin and death, they are removed. Will there be bounds then? Will they have boundaries? Oh, they will. What shall they be bound to? Oh, they shall be bound to two things. They will be bound to the purpose of their creation, but they will be bound even higher to the purpose of their redemption. Oh, within those bounds, that is to the honor of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And within those bounds, they are going to have a blessed and an eternal, a perfect freedom that will be without sin, because he says, "For therein shall in no wise enter therein anything that defileth, neither anything that works abomination or maketh a lie, but those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Oh, what shall that be when they may experience to a blessed perfection the truth of that word of Christ? If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do instruct us because we are ignorant. But grant us that life in our souls that detests sin, that hates sin. Oh, if we have never received it in our life, wilt thou begin today? Wilt thou begin this day, O Lord? Sin that is loathsome unto thee, it must become so also unto us. What a separation that it is making between thee and our souls. Oh, that we may learn to hate it, that we may learn to flee from it, and that we may learn something of the bondage that we are in unto it, that we may need that blessed Savior, that blessed Redeemer, and that we may cry out of that bondage for that freedom, and that thou givest to all thy people, all to bring us out of the bondage of corruption into the blessed liberty of the children of God. O Lord, make thou us free. Forgive our many sins. Wilt thou be with us further? Bring us safely to our places. Wilt thou help the student who hopes to be in our midst in this afternoon? Wilt thou be on his right and on his left hand? And grant us a cry also to thee for him, and that thou may bless thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 426 stanzas 9 and 10. I am, O Lord, thy servant, bound yet free, and thy handmaid son, whose shackles thou hast broken. Redeemed by grace, I'll render as a token of gratitude my constant praise to thee. 9 and 10 of Psalter 426. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.